back to The People's Show with Sat, Dan, and Randeep on Sportsnet 650.
Yeah, The People's Show and a trade in the NHL. Pretty big one as well. The Islanders acquiring Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac from the New Jersey Devils in exchange for forwards Greer, Jobst, and the Islanders' first-round pick in 2021 and a conditional fourth in 2022 as well. New Jersey agreeing to retain 50% of both Palmieri and Zajac's salaries. So the first big move of the deadline gets made, and it's the Islanders that make it. I think once they had the Anders Lee injury open up a lot of cap space for them, they were allowed to kind of go out and take their pick of what they wanted. They know they've got a good team. But this is the thing. Like, there's only so many teams that have cap space. You know, Tampa doesn't really have it. We know the Leafs don't really have it. Colorado has a little, but still not a lot. Vegas has nothing. And there's just not a lot of these contenders that actually have cap space to maneuver around, and that's, you know, going to be the big issue going into Monday.
And that's the big issue here, right? So as much as I'm excited by this trade, and I love that we saw Palmieri get traded, and I love the fit with the Islanders, is this going to be the biggest trade that gets done? Is this the peak of an already quiet year as far as trades go for the deadline? Is this going to be the peak of the trade deadline? Because right now, the best player available as far as rentals go just got traded in Palmieri.
And that's fair, because if you look at what's left out there and how much cap space is left out there, it's going to be tough for a lot of these teams, especially when we're talking about a Taylor Hall trade. Who can retain, who can take on that salary? Buffalo would have to retain a lot of salary, and the value of Taylor Hall is a huge question. In regards to this deal, though, if you look at the Islanders lineup now, let's just look down the middle, right? Zajac, this is a guy that's going to add a little depth. They're stacked down the middle. Now you have Beauvillier on the wings. You've got, you know, guys like Kiefer Bellows, Wallstrom, Josh Bailey, and Jordan Eberle. You add a Kyle Palmieri to that. This is a scary team because Lou Lamoriello, with this move, has signaled that he's all in. He's ready to go. He's ready to make a move. They've made progress in the last couple of years. And now all of a sudden, he's pushing his, you know, his chips to the middle of the table and saying, all right, we're ready to roll. This is a one-off year. And they've got some serious depth there. They play within that system already. They clamp down on you. They push you to the outsides. They make it easier for their goaltenders. This is going to be a scary team. But to your point, Sat, yeah, this might be the biggest deal, because how much money can teams really throw around? How much money can they take on? And this is a pretty substantial move for Palmieri that all of a sudden, that Washington-New York Islanders conversation that we were having a little bit earlier on in the show, like, that's real now. And if you're the Washington Capitals, you're saying, uh-oh, we're in for a fight here. They're in for a fight to begin with. Now this is a signal of intent from the New York Islanders.
Jacob in Surrey, did I miss Reach's breaking news, or does that only happen when it's a meaningless trade? What is Jacob talking about? Every bit of news that I bring on the show is totally legit, okay? Even if Dmitry Kulikov is signing over the summer with the New Jersey Devils, that's breaking news to me. I'm sorry that I have such a high standard for breaking news. People need to know.
No, you have a low bar.
Low bar. But breaking, you see, you can do a cheesy breaking news sounder to have fun with things in jest, but the actual breaking news sounder has to be the good one. Like, okay, this is legit. You know, otherwise it's going to, you know, then it muddies the waters. You don't want confusion.
You got to keep the people guessing here on the show. It is The People Show. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. And our next guest from the province joins us weekly here on Wednesdays and sometimes more often as well. It is Patrick Johnston. What's going on, PJ?
Dan, as long as you don't create a new day, call Wednesday. I'm available.
as long as you're available, that's the important part here for us. We're kind of starting to hear some rumblings that the league is not that they're planning, but you know, they are having an eye towards the Canucks returning sometimes at the end of next week, potentially. But as for the Canucks, you know, they come out with the statement today. Where are they at right now with how they are planning to move forward?
Well, I think you're right that they haven't said the day, but certainly I think, you know, there's a tentative notion that the end of next week is likely when they would return, which always made sense to me once you recognized, first of all, how many guys are positive and essentially the rules that go with that. I mean, obviously they're getting tested a lot, but in general, it's sort of, there's that 2-week clearance, seem to be 2 weeks, essentially post-infection to come back. And so then the next week, you know, given that most players obviously tested positive on Friday and Saturday, you know, that kind of gives you, or I guess it was Thursday and Friday now I think about it, but anyway, that gives you a look at sort of how this team may be coming back into the fold. Actually, I guess I said 2 weeks. It's 10 days. I always get confused on those things. If you have symptoms, it's 10 days since your last symptoms. But essentially, that made sense. And I think at this point, you know, it remains very much that everyone has essentially been told to stay home and isolate through, I guess, Sunday now. And I mean, it's a bit TBD is my sense of things, but we'll see how things progress with everyone. Nate Schmidt now makes it just about every player involved has tested positive at this point. Those guys, him and Jake Virtanen, will be, I guess, the last guys to come off the protocol list. So it's going to be interesting what that team looks like when it comes back on the ice, assuming everyone comes through this all right. And of course, there may be some variants to that, and we'll see how they fill out the roster at this point. They haven't called anybody up from Utica. That's still, I think, a possibility, but they still need to get a sense of what their schedule actually looks like and how the players are feeling.
Well, and this has not been an easy thing for reporters like you to report on. And I think, PJ, you've done a great job. I know Trance has worked hard on this. He's done a really good job as well, considering how hard it is in an information vacuum here. And until today, and I thought it was good that the organization sent out the info today and gave us some more clarity on stuff. I think that makes it easier on that aspect.
Yeah.
And I know people want answers to questions, and they're asking, how did this happen? Did you break protocol? Did this happen? And rumors about this, rumors about that. And I get that people want answers to these sort of things, but it's so hard in this situation when there's public health issues, there's personal health issue, and there's essentially no information coming out I'd like to see a thorough report that's transparent about how we got to this point. My question is, will we actually see that?
I think you can already piece a few things together. Like you said, the Canucks, I think to their credit, gave us full statement, a full accounting of the situation, I think as they could. Left a lot of clues. I mean, they referred to a public exposure event, public exposure locale. And if you go to VCH, you can see what that is. And, pointed out that there is one individual, and it's pretty, we know how things played out last week, you know. Adam Gaudet, I think, is, you know, he was the first guy it happened. But, you know, understanding what the protocols are, I think, is important as well. Essentially, the NHL's protocols defer to local health authorities. And nothing that happened, from what I understand, that caused this outbreak was related to any breaking of any rules. Now, the NHL recommended some things, but on the whole, this is a case, I think, of, you know, essentially it could have happened to anyone. And in many ways, the guy that got affected wasn't breaking any rules. Let's, I guess, put it that way. And certainly was doing what was allowed anyone to do in BC right now, or at least, sorry, as of whenever it was, you know, 10 days ago. So there's nothing, you know, you can put it all together. At the end of the day, what happened was the real part of the story, I think, you know, and you can look at it yourself. You can see the fact that essentially everyone who has tested naked to this point, which is essentially all the off-ice guys, weren't on the ice. They had their masks on. And, you know, in compliance with the protocols, which say that when you're off the ice, you're essentially supposed to have your mask on. And so they've been working in areas close to these players who all got it. You know, we do know one support staff got it today, and that could very well be they were wearing a mask. But I think this is also a story about mask wearing and how important that really is, especially now, even with a variant, which we know it is. And there's a lot of, it goes back to what I was told on the weekend, that they are treating this as a P1 outbreak. And, the more the week has evolved, I know Dr. Henry said yesterday she's not aware of it being a P1, but I think that she was very careful, actually, in the way she chose her words. There is a lot of, my understanding, there's a lot of reasons why they believe it's a P1, just from, like, I don't know if it's related directly to the actual exposure in terms of whether that person has been identified as having P1, but, the evidence all seems to be pointing that direction, and it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of that story unfolds in the coming days, I think.
Yeah, and absolutely just getting to that point of how we got to this point, how it can be avoided in the future, and eventually everybody getting healthy again, and maybe this team plays some games in the future here. But, in the last 24 hours, 48 hours, we've heard the Tanner Pearson contract talks. Apparently they're back on again. What are you hearing on that front? And it felt like they were kind of, in a position of not being restarted maybe a couple of weeks ago, and all of a sudden we're talking potential 2 to 3 year term here, PJ. How did we get to this point?
Well, I think there's a few things. I think it still remains to be seen. I certainly know it's clear there's interest from the team. I imagine there's interest from the player. I don't know what the numbers that are being discussed. I imagine, just knowing everything else we know, and we've talked about this, the number from the team is pretty firm. So what that all means is an interesting question. I think part of this dynamic is, the Tanner Pearson is a guy that is, I think, well-liked in that room. And I do think, I think we've heard enough about it that, the loss of Tanev and Markstrom, I think was we know it was felt in the room. We know that it was a bit of a blow to some of the people there. And, I don't think the main reason is that, this guy holds the room together. He's the glue or anything like that, but it certainly plays a factor in this. I think, they like Tanner Pearson as a player. There's no doubt about that. Now, as Sat pointed out, I think yesterday, right? Sat, you said, well, Jim said they're 2 years away. Why are you doing this deal then? Well, I think that is a very important counterpoint in all this. And, so it doesn't necessarily work in those terms. You're running the risk of turning into a similar situation like you're already in with Jay Beagle and Antoine Roussel and Brandon Sutter, and that you've overburdened the bottom part of your lineup. If Tanner Pearson, all things work out, the Tanner Pearson works out, but he really is just a third line winger. Do you really want to be overpaying for that spot? That, which is a mistake you've been guilty of before. There are worse players to make this bet on, but I'm still not convinced it's the right move.
What's an overpay for Tanner Pearson?
Well, it's so tough to say at this point, but you look at, I would say, honestly, look at a comparison point like someone like Antoine Roussel, who, I think in the end has sort of gone as bad as his last two seasons have gone as poorly as you could have, you would have worried about. His first season was pretty good. Then that injury just completely kind of put him on his, behind the eight ball, and I think he's just never really recovered from that. As feisty a player as he is, it's not worked out. So I think you really have to look at sort of him as a baseline. Pearson's making what, 3.5 right now? Let me just pull it up here while I think about it. But he's a guy that, 3.75. So, he's a guy that's going to be like, this is what I made last year. The Canucks are going to look, and they're going to be, well, we have a flat cap. We have to sign two stars. If you want to stay on this team, certainly I don't imagine he's going to be able to say, well, I deserve the same amount of money. I think you can look and turn around at the same time, though, and say, well, Jake Virtanen's making 2.5. So he'll probably say I'm a more productive player than Antoine Roussel. I think $3 million could be the number there. We'll see how that plays out.
But, you know, it's one of those ones, like I said, I think you need to be cautious here because, you know, is the return for the number that you end up landing him on, if that's what happens, is it actually worth it? Or could you find, you know, Jimmy Vesey, let's remember, Jimmy Vesey signed for $900,000, right? And I'm sure the Canucks would be pointing to that and say, listen, you guys have similar pedigrees. Jimmy Vesey obviously didn't have a great year in Buffalo and wasn't going great in Toronto, but certainly has had seasons in the past that looked like Tanner Pearson's, and they'll be like, well, look how much he's making. So, you know, it's complicated. It is a really complicated spot right now. And I certainly hope, you know, the Canucks are learning their lessons and holding their line. They're saying, listen, this is the price. I mean, they've done it before. This is the price. If you want to stay, this is what the price is going to be. And more than likely, it's not going to be a number that's going to be all that appealing to the player. But we'll see.
Patrick Johnson from The Province is our guest here on Sportsnet 650 on The People Show. And, you know, PJ, I made this analogy yesterday, and, you know, I kind of mentioned the same thing, that a big driver here to bring Pearson back is, hey, they lost these guys in a room. That was tough. They're low to lose a couple more guys like this. And the analogy I made was, there's a scene in First Man, the movie about Neil Armstrong. And this is like after all these astronauts have died and testing and all this sort of stuff. And he's involved in a test that he narrowly escapes death in. And then they start asking him, like, at what cost can we have you doing this? And he stops. He says, at what cost? It's too late to be asking that question. You should have asked this question before. Like, if you've already gone down this path of let Markstrom walk, let Tanev walk, you have a two-year plan, let's look towards the future, why would you be that worried about it? Like, if you're already moving forward for 2 years, should the comprehensive plan not be, in 2 years we're a cup contender, or in 2 years we're going to be here, and let's build towards that? Why this fear of losing a guy when you've already lost the two biggest guys you could have lost in Markstrom and Tanev?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Great movie, by the way. First Man is fantastic, and just sort of the it really paints a completely different picture of the space program, because we have this heroic notion, everything worked great. Oh, Apollo 13 was just a blip. But really, it's more the anxiety of space flight and how things might shake apart. And, you know, the point is exactly that. Like, you committed to this. Like, we're already at this point. We better carry on, which, you know, is a little bit risking of bearing over to the sunk cost fallacy. But usually you're talking about, well, I've stuck with this player. I've signed him. I better commit, you know, stick with this player. And usually we're like, well, that's the wrong argument. But you're right. You've picked, you know, they in the end picked a course. I think you're totally right. They picked a course that basically said, no, we're going to be careful in how we spend the money around the edges from here on out. That, you know, they've committed to Thatcher Demko. They said, this is going to be our guy. I think, you know, it was, like I said, I think it's a bet, but it's a bet that has actually had some reasonable chance of success. You know, there have been bets made in the past on players with, on, you know, going into, who are going into free agency, like Ben Hutton, like Sven Berchi, and they didn't work out, especially in Hutton's case, because Hutton was an RFA and they paid a bunch of money and they ended up walking away from him. So, you know, there is a sort of a path, you know, a path here that we shouldn't ignore. Now, I think, you know, the way the contracts negotiations are being dealt with now are, I think they're different than they were. You know, Chris Gere's obviously a big influence there. You know, and so that does change the understanding of the picture, that if there's a desire to keep a player, he's got to be like, well, this is what the cost has to be. And clearly we know that they set a line on Markstrom, and they set a line, well, I mean, did they set a line on Tanner? We don't even know. We know they set a line on Markstrom. And they weren't willing to go over that. And I think, you know, at the time I said, I commend them for making that hard decision, because it would have been very easy to retain the player, spent too much, overcommitted on a guy that was probably going to still be good for another year or two. Now, obviously, he struggled in Calgary, but still was likely to be good for a couple seasons. But you know, there was so much unknown at the tail end of that contract. You know, good for them for walking away. Pearson's a bit of a different case in that, you know, he's not going to turn around and sign a big deal like that, you know, 2 or 3 years. You know, you can understand the argument, but at the same time, in a flat cap world with the price that he likely is asking for, I'm not sure it's a player that makes sense to commit at this point, especially in the end when you still have to figure out how you're going to get Pettersson and Hughes on board.
Well, PJ, looking beyond this year as well, if you're trying to spend money, if the Canucks are in a position to do so, you're going to have to clear up some space. That might be done to through LTIR, depending on what happens with Michael Ferland. Also, maybe even on the Jay Beagle front. But beyond that, you're might have to look at buyouts as well. The organization didn't go through with any last year. Does that change this summer? And if so, is there a candidate or two that you're watching to see?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, you know, you got to look at, I mean, Jay Beagle, I know there's sort of these reports. I don't know anything about that situation, but obviously these reports out there that perhaps he'll just end up being on LTIR next year, which, you know, helps the situation to a degree. You know, one of the things to think about in terms of cap space is obviously Quinn Hughes has been tracking towards getting all his bonuses. You know, maybe we're less clear on what happens with Elias Pettersson. He was not on track to collect all his bonuses, which is, you know, in a way, a bit of a relief for the cap space for next year. But, you know, Jay Beagle certainly was an option for a buyout, I think. You know, you look at Roussel as an option as a buyout. You just need to find space. I mean, I've even pondered the idea of Jake Virtanen as a buyout because his buyout actually is really manageable, especially because there's a very small cap hit next year. There's a larger cap hit the year after, but you're also kind of going to be able to trade off for a few other cap penalties at that point. So, you know, it's a bit more of an unusual road, but not nearly as bumpy as some of the other paths you might have to take. So, yeah, I mean, the buyout names are the obvious names. We'll see what happens there. But, you know, that's not been something that ownership's been terribly interested in. They certainly weren't interested in going into this season. So, you know, it's not exactly going to be something that's, I think, a slam dunk maneuver either.
PJ, on Jim Benning, and, you know, there's just so much talk around him, right? Especially, you know, for years. I mean, it's been, you know, 7 years, and at every turn, you know, there's been attempts to get Jim Benning out of here. But seeing these moves and seeing everything, do you think this is an indication here that Jim's coming back next season?
Well, I mean, that was one thought I had. I was, you know, talking with some of those earlier. And, you know, if you really are pursuing re-signing a depth winger, that sure says a lot about, you know, what ownership's authorizing in relation to the interests of management, assuming that that's down to the GM's decision. So, yeah, I mean, it certainly is. It'd be weird. It would be a weird one to ask him to negotiate a contract and then show him the door. There's no doubt about that, right? Like, I, you know, there are others, perhaps in other sports that might happen. But it just seems like such a weird scenario, you know. And then at that point, you're sort of like, okay, well, who's in charge? And you assume that it would then mean the GM's still in charge. Certainly, we've had ideas earlier this season that may not have been always the case, especially because there is money involved and money is tight. And certainly, you know, we have a lot of other examples to think of that there's been issues related to that. So, yeah, I think it really does raise an interesting question about the dynamic that Jim Benning may be facing going forward.
PJ, a quick thought before we let you go. We do have to hit the break, but password, should it continue or not?
God, put me
say
on the
no.
spot.
Say
I can't,
say
I can't
no.
even play around. Well, my sap, sorry, guys, sap's my boy.
Yes!
I said yes last week, but I'm going no this week.
Wow,
yes.
Like so Friday, when Sat's not on the show on Friday, you're like, yeah, password's the best. Now Sat's back, and you're like, nah, I can't do it.
It's like Eddie Lack. You guys got Eddie Lack to turn around. I got PJ to turn. So
I gotta play for the drama here, right? Team chaos. What's he gonna say this week?
All right, fine, PJ. We'll talk next week. Thank you.
Take care, fellas.
There he is, Patrick Johnston of the Province. Another vote for no when it comes to passwords. And a lot to break down there from a Canucks perspective as well. We got to hit the break. But when we come back, more on the Canucks and also on the NFL draft. Of teams in the top 10, who do you think can take a step as early as next season? We'll discuss. It is the People Show. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, Randeep Janda, Sportsnet 650.
This house is about more than just the flow. It's about...
Now Pettersson out throwing weak side. Saucer pass left circle. Messer shoots and scores!
This is Brock's House on the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650.
Time now for Sportsnet 650 traffic from the News 1130 Air Patrol.
Starting in Richmond, there's a crash on the Alex Fraser on-ramp from Highway 91A southbound to really the Anacis Channel Bridge. It's in the left lane. There's a police incident in Surrey, 152nd southbound, just past 72nd Avenue in the right lane. A car in the ditch in Port Coquitlam on the Maryhill Bypass on-ramp to the Pitt River Bridge. The left lane is blocked by a tow truck and a stall in Burnaby Caribou southbound before 16th in the right lane. Do you or your child carry an EpiPen? If so, you should know when your device expires. Check the expiry date today and visit your pharmacy to renew. In the News 1130 Air Patrol, I'm Natalie.
You're listening to The People's Show with Sat, Dan, and Randeep on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Just to update the people, because we love the people here on the show, we want to pull back the curtain as much as we possibly can. There is currently a fire alarm in place at the Sportsnet 650 studios where I sit. There's lights flashing at me. I don't know if there's a bell that's going on. I don't think you guys can hear it. I'm told everything's okay. But
this is the perfect time to panic.
We should be okay. We should be fine. But if I do have to run at some point, I do run fast. This is good. 4:09:40. Let's remember. So if I do have to run at some point, just know that it's because there's a fire alarm in the building.
All right, we got you.
Yeah, and just make sure you take Josh Elliott Wolf with you, because that kid...
No. Josh, get out of the building right now. Just get out, Josh.
Get out. Like, Josh, hey, Reach, you be careful too, yeah. But Josh, please be safe. Please get out. We love you. We care about you. We care for you. We don't want you to get hurt. Not even this tiniest little burn. I don't care. Like, I don't want anything to happen to you.
I feel so appreciated right now.
Not even,
right
hair. Not even hair singed off.
I just need a quick question here for Josh. Are you voting yes or no to password?
I voted no.
Okay, you're
yes.
You stay
yes!
right.
Yes,
you stay in the chair.
No,
how dare you?
Get up!
All
how
of a sudden,
you?
The door is locked and I can't get out.
Please, no. I mean, who's gonna play songs like OG Beeper coming in? Like, I mean, that's like what a track. Love it, Josh.
How dare you?
I mean, it's just another Vikings fan, you know. Anyways,
there's dozens of Vikings fans.
You know what I like about Josh? He's very transparent about the fact that he's becoming a golf guy, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like you turn, 22, and you're like, I'm a golf guy now.
It happened. Like one day, all of a sudden, I was researching clubs. I was like, man, where am I going to go this summer? I'm all in.
It happened earlier for Josh than it does most folks. Like Randeep, you know, yeah. Into his mid-30s, and now he's like, I'm going to be a golf guy now.
No. Dan, know the full story before you get into this. I was a golf guy like 7 years ago. I gave up the game because I suck, and I'm coming back, all right? Know the full story. Man, but, yeah, dude, I suck.
Yeah, man. Dude, the one thing I will say, right?
Yeah.
Remember when you were a kid? And there are certain things you didn't like food-wise, right? You're like, oh, man, I don't like eggplant, or I don't like asparagus. Like, I don't like this stuff. And you get older, and then your palate appreciates it all of a sudden. I mean,
Brussels
that's
sprouts, the worst.
Yeah, exactly. But then as you get older, you're like, oh, you know what? This is good. Actually, if you bake Brussels sprouts, they're super crispy and tasty. You can have them with ketchup. They're delicious, right? But when you're a kid, you don't want to have anything to do with Brussels sprouts. So just because Josh, his sports palate is now maturing. Now he's appreciating golf. So that's
he's like
happening.
The reverse. He's like the reverse of Brendan Batchelor in tacos. Like people like tacos as they get older, and they're like, "Oh wow, the world is expanding in front of my eyes." No, Brendan Batchelor is still stuck at. He's like 73 inside. He's probably appreciating Brussels sprouts. Good for you, Josh. Expand those horizons.
I love it.
It's incredible. Like I think if you're a sports radio host, it's like or you work in sports radio, isn't it like part of the job, like a requirement that you just have to be an obnoxious golf guy or.
I suck at golf too. So
see, this is like therapy.
No wonder I get no love for the Masters pool. This is unbelievable. I figured it all out now. But both of my co-hosts stink, so they're just like, no, I don't. We don't need the Masters pool.
No. I listen. Don't go too far. Don't say things that we might regret. Like you know, obviously, I still like golf. I appreciate the Masters. I like pools. It was you just had the perfect tweet going for a while, and now it's been ruined. For a while, you tweeted it out. It had zero replies, zero likes, zero retweets, and one person. You had one person join you, Jane Ladysmith, and he's like, "I'm so excited to be part of this." I'm like, "Of course, you got a 50% chance of winning. It's just you and Dan. It's two guys." I mean, that's all it is.
I'm so genuinely rooting for Jane Ladysmith. Like,
yes,
I made an entry, but I don't really care. I did it for Reach, but I hope Jaden Ladysmith wins.
So, okay, you guys are nice. I wouldn't even do it for reach. Like, the t-shirt's not enough. He's got to have some skin in the game. I'm glad we actually decided on what we decided about earlier. Like, the Chara pick is in play now, right? Right, Reach?
So, Reach. Okay, I'm going to pose this to Reach.
Reach ran out of the building. Not because of the fire alarm, because we brought this up.
I hope he's... I mean, we're making jokes here, but I hope the guys are okay. Reach?
I'm still here. I just don't want this Chara picture out there, okay? I got worried for a second. I know these are like the longest odds of anything, you know, that all six of us finish in the top 10 of the Masters pool, which is, now has over 70 contestants. So, like,
those are great odds for you.
Six of us? How do we get to six?
Well, Josh is included.
Oh, Josh too, right? Yeah. I thought, okay, so Josh, so all six of you made it six. It was five. It was supposed to be five.
No, I made it six. I got to increase. That's like, impossible. The odds got to be worse. The odds got to be worse,
dude. I mean, that's like a six-way parlay. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we've all hit a six-way parlay at some point in our lives.
Okay, so five of us. What is our strategy? Do we all have to come up with the same golfing lineup?
Well, first of all, I'm going to have Arjun Atwal and Vijay Singh on my. I got to go with the.
It's over. We lost. We lost.
I got to stay true to my roots.
It's over. It's over, ladies and gentlemen.
Just pick Mike Weir, you know. I'm sure he'll do well this weekend.
Yeah.
We do got to formulate a theory here and a strategy before tomorrow, cuz yeah, we got to maximize our chance here. I'm with you on that, Vic.
Look, this is not going to happen, okay? To have six people finish in the top 10 of a 70-plus person Masters pool is very difficult, okay? Like, think of the range of combinations, eight golfers each. It's very unlikely to happen. These are the only circumstances that I will potentially allow the Chara photo to get out to the public. And I see Mike and Victoria and some others, you know, trying to put out some funny Photoshops. Look, there's nothing that could be possibly worse than me with next to Zdeno Chara in whatever sad sorry state I was in at the moment. It is not a great picture. And I, like, honestly, there's got to have some sort of like miracle happen for me to release this to the public. So yes,
it's actually Mitch in Victoria.
Sorry,
and
Mitch.
Please, whatever you do, do not go to @WyattOnIce. And check out the photo that he's put up of Dan Riccio and Zdeno Chara. Dan Riccio would be very, very upset if you guys went and checked out this tweet and liked this tweet and retweeted this tweet and interacted with this tweet. So please do not, in any circumstances, go to twitter.com @WyattOnIce. Don't do it.
You're savage.
@WyattOnIce.
You're savage. All right. One thing, though, Dan.
Yeah.
Do we have agreement? This is teeing off tomorrow. We need to have clarity on this. The six team parlay that we're kind of working on here. Is this a go? Is the Chara pick and play?
Okay, it's a go if you all join the Masters pool and we all, myself, Josh Elliott Wolf, big golf guy, Josh Elliott Wolf, Satyar Shah.
Hang on, you can't be involved in this.
Why? That's how we get to
six. You can submarine your own picks.
How can I? Yes. I promise I will not submarine my own picks.
Yeah, well, your promises also, like, don't mean anything here. Come on. Five of us on our own can do it.
I mean,
I know nothing about golf. I really don't.
Listen, if Dan is willing to sink his own Masters pool all the effort he put in and this painstaking promotion that he did of this entire week, if he's willing to dump all that to protect that photo, then I think that creates great content. So I'm here for it. And I'm here for Dan freaking out and submarining his own chances.
All right. You convinced me, Sat. You convinced me.
Man. All right. So it's set. Okay. Yeah. So we got to finish in the top 10. And if that happens, you will reveal the photo.
Yes.
We have less chances than Leicester City winning the EPL back in 2015, 2016 with this
Probably.
Thing. But I think we can pull it off, folks.
But
I think
they won the EPL. That's
They
the
did. They did.
5,000 to 1 were the odds. Can we get like Cool Bet on this? Can they put some odds on this actually happening?
We can get our friends at BCLC to check something out.
Let's
for
do
us.
It.
They'll tell us what's going on. We can get some odds on this. Oh man, You guys didn't say anything about this.
Yeah.
But now it's being, you know, people are coming at me on Twitter and also on the text inbox. And because I mentioned something, I said Brussels sprouts.
Yes.
And I will have my Brussels sprouts with ketchup.
I thought it was weird. I didn't want to like point it out too much. I was too invested in the Masters conversation.
I know that's very much, that's very John Garrett of me. All right.
Very.
Like yes. I'm not a big ketchup guy, but ketchup with Brussels sprouts is fantastic.
Sat, you're a good dude, but that's a hard disagree for me. Hard disagree. I'm like anti-ketchup. I'm basically the reverse of Cheech in this regard. Like ketchup, if you're over 14 years old and you're having ketchup, there's something wrong going on.
Over
like
14?
No, it's not natural. Like it's a kid's food, condiment. Like
you guys are playing game shows on radio. And he's like, oh, no, you're too much of a kid.
No, that's different. That's different. ketchup. Like you grow out of ketchup. You grow out of ketchup. You should.
What is that? You gonna play Yahtzee? Like, give me a break.
Well, what's the point of having Brussels sprouts if you're just gonna? What's the point of having Brussels sprouts if you're just gonna like, you know, drench them in ketchup? Doesn't make any sense.
You add a little sweet to it. Taste a little salt and sweet. It's good. Fantastic.
Don't like that.
Vicky says that's like ketchup on pasta. Look, nothing's worse than ketchup on pasta. I can't believe people that actually do that.
I don't know. Eddie Lack does that too?
Yeah, he does. All right.
Well, so much is.
The password vote is still going on. People are trying to tempt Sat with doggo pictures, and I absolutely love it. The doggos are here for password.
Oh man, I mean that's just not nice.
We got people sending in pictures of their dogs. We got Jimmy sending in a video with his daughter, Makana. So like that, they're coming after you.
They are. I mean, I already made my vote. Now I've already put it out. There's nothing I can do. I can't change. It is what it is. It hurts. And it's fair game, man. Fair game. I'm taking your password away from you, and I get it. I understand why that hurts. But I promise you, if password does indeed go away and disappear from our consciousness, there will be something else to replace it that will be interactive and fun and would not be nearly as divisive as password has been.
All right. We will continue the password conversations through the course of the show. I did want to get some NFL talk in. The draft, you know, we've talked a lot about it this week. Mark Schofield gave us some great insights yesterday. You can check that out on the podcast. Always subscribe and review while you are there from hour three of yesterday. Now, when we look at the top 10, like there's a really interesting mix of teams currently in the top 10. Obviously, the Niners, who had a down year after they were really good a couple of years ago, they jumped into the top 10 with their trade. You've got the Miami Dolphins, who were pretty good last year. They're at number 6. Carolina Panthers just went out and made a pretty big trade. The Dallas Cowboys are also in the top 10. Which of these teams, which of the top 10, maybe it's one of the other teams I didn't mention, which of the top 10 teams could take a big step next year?
You know, I know you don't want to hear this, Reach, and I know Randeep doesn't want to jinx it, but it is the Miami Dolphins.
What?
Ooh.
It is. I mean, the team that's already good, look at the draft pick they have. I mean, you're going with Tua, you put yourself in a great position here to give him another building block. I mean, the obvious answer here is Miami, because they've already have a pretty good foundation, and they're adding another good pick into it.
Okay, I
feel like that's
that.
Kind of a cop-out, because it's not technically their pick.
What? Well,
it's Houston's pick.
It's Houston's pick that they like traded around. Like, I get it, but they're not a bottom 10 team, is kind of what I'm saying.
No, they're not a bottom 10 team, but that's the obvious one, right? Like, that's the obvious team that's going to be better. Does anybody have a hot take on a team?
Okay, The one that I look at that might have a resurgence for 1 year, long-term, I think they're still going to take a L in the way that Atlanta restructured Matt Ryan's contract. Like, in the short term, they might be better. 4-12 is pretty damn bad. So if we're talking about a surge, high-level talent, they've still got that passing game, you know, maybe there's a bit of an uptick there. That division's going to be tough, but should they be able to beat Carolina? Probably, based on what's going on there as well. I would say maybe we're seeing Atlanta become more of a closer to a 500 team. They were really, really below standard last year. So it's not going to be winning the division, but are we talking about a 500 team? I would say Atlanta, but maybe it's for 1 year, maximum two. We know the long-term direction of that team. It's not going to be going to a good place. But if I look at those teams, I'm probably leaning Atlanta as the most realistic because they still do have a bit of that high end. They got a lot of holes on that roster too, but every single team in that bottom 10, if you want to call it, or the top 10 of the draft, they all got questions. I'm leaning Atlanta, and I'm not all that optimistic about it, but I would go that way.
I don't think that at all. I actually think Carolina might have a better chance than Atlanta, Randeep. I know nobody really likes Sam Darnold. I know Bick hates Sam Darnold, but I can get behind Sam Darnold in a better system with better coaching, with some pretty good talent at receiver in Carolina as well. All of a sudden, not being great, but being at least serviceable. And that was a team at times last year that showed some promise, even with horrible quarterback play. So if Sam Darnold can just be pretty decent, I can see the Carolina Panthers in an NFC South where the Saints won't have, you know, what are they going with? Jameis Winston at quarterback. I don't know if I believe in the Saints right now. I still don't like Atlanta's entire roster. Tampa Bay, obviously, they're going to be the favorite in that division. But I think there is a opportunity for Carolina to not fight for the division, but fight for a wild card spot with Sam Darnold at quarterback.
You know, I like the Panthers a lot as that team, but I'm just not sold on Darnold. I'm just not, right? So that's what prevents me from getting in on that team a lot. But two teams, I mean, we know San Fran, of course, already has a pretty high ceiling, and now they have a high draft pick, and, you know, it's not hard to piece together them having a far better season and bouncing back. But the Denver Broncos, we know the Cowboys are probably going to be better with Dak back at number 10, but the Denver Broncos, if they actually take Trey Lance, if he somehow falls to number 9, and that offense with those weapons and a defense that's still pretty good, you add an actual quarterback, that could really change things for that team in a big, big way. And if Trey Lance is still there at number 9, it's going to be an absolute, it's ridiculous if that's the case. But if he's there and Denver gets him, to me, that's a team that can catapult.
Yeah, you wonder what they get at quarterback. And maybe it's even a Justin Fields that falls that far. Maybe they even trade up a little bit, depending on what happens there. But the Dallas Cowboys are interesting too, right? Like, I know nobody expected them to be a top 10 team last year. I certainly didn't, but they get Dak Prescott back. Dallas Cowboys got a pretty good roster in the overall. I could see them definitely in the NFC East all of a sudden winning that division.
But isn't that team a slightly, like, when we talk about depressing situations, we think of Denver, we think of Detroit, we think of Cincinnati. Like, the Dallas Cowboys, to me, are not in that group. I know they're in the top 10 of this draft, and a lot of that has to do with Dak Prescott being injured last year. But I think any of those other teams that we mentioned, that would be a leap. For the Dallas Stars, like, it's expected that they're better next year. Like, if they're not, that's a failure. I think with the other teams, it's more about who's going to make that leap. With Dallas, it's you better make that leap because you're getting Dak back and you should be a competitive team in that terrible, terrible trash division.
Text coming in, Dunbar Lumber text line. What do you feel about the Cardinals this year? AJ Green, JJ Watt, Fitzgerald, Hopkins, Kyler Murray. They seem dangerous. They seem older is what they seem to me with AJ Green and JJ Watt. We'll see if they can have some pretty decent years and add to what's a decent young roster. All I got to say is this. Brandon Marshall today reported that Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll are on the same page. I know the clip's kind of long. We got to go to break, so we won't have time for it. But Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll on the same page. Guess who's winning the NFC West this year? It's pretty obvious.
Oh,
it's the Seattle
gosh.
Seahawks.
There we go.
Reach, we feel like we're Leo DiCaprio here. Like, we're not leaving. The not show leaving. Goes on.
I'm not leaving.
Everything changed as soon as they brought Dunlap back. I remember Bick was like, man, I don't know what the Hawks are doing. Dunlap, let's go, Super Bowl, baby. I'm like, what?
It was literally that day, wasn't it? I was like, yeah, I don't know. I think we did I'm Not Saying, Just Saying. I was like, I'm not saying the Seahawks are going to miss the playoffs. I'm just saying this is the first time they're going to not win the division. And then they signed Dunlap. I was like, we're not leaving.
And as long as Cliff Kingsbury has got his feet up in his fancy home in Scottsdale there, The Seahawks will be fine.
Okay, we're just going to ignore the Brandon Marshall guaranteed contracts rant. Like, this guy hasn't got anything right in the last couple of days.
Yeah, no kidding.
Russell Wilson's probably getting traded based on what Brandon Marshall's saying, if he's saying it. Come on.
I don't believe you. Seahawks aren't going anywhere. Matthew Stafford might have a few things to say about that, but he's always injured anyways. We'll see. It's going to be a fun division this year. All right, coming back. I know people want us to get back in on the hockey talk. Big trade, New York Islanders acquiring Kyle Palmieri and also Travis Zajac. We'll get to that and more here on The People's Show. It is Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, Randeep Janda, Sportsnet 650.
This year, the youth movement comes of age on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Time now for Sportsnet 650 traffic from the News 1130 Air Patrol.
Heads up in Langley, there's a stall along 200 southbound at 80th in the left turn lane. Also a new stall, the Golden Ears Bridge. It's northbound midspan in the right lane. And a stall in Burnaby Caribou southbound before 16th in the right lane. Do you or your child carry an EpiPen? If so, you should know when your device expires. Check the expiry date today and visit your pharmacy to renew. In the News 1130 Air Patrol, I'm Natalie.
Above 7 degrees Celsius, your winter tires wear faster and get noisy on the warm, dry surface. But with a quick change from winter to Toyota recommended all-season tires, you'll extend the life of your winter tires and enjoy a quieter ride on your all-season tires, which are designed for warmer temperatures. Come into your nearest Pacific Toyota dealer today and get the right tires at the right price, thanks to our price match promise. When it comes to tires, details make the difference. Terms and conditions apply.
You're always chasing that next win. Sure, it will solve everything. But you know deep down it won't. Are you experiencing issues with gambling? Free and confidential help for gambling problems is available at GamblingSupportVancouver.com.
When your bank account does more, your money does more, so you can live more too. Switch to the Scotiabank Ultimate Package and get a savings rate of up to 1.8%, unlimited Interac e-transfer transactions, an annual credit card fee waiver on select credit cards, and a $300 welcome bonus. It's the bank account that lets you do more, all from one package. Conditions apply. Rate is for a limited time and varies by savings period. Visit scotiabank.com/ultimate300. Scotiabank.
NHL Live, the stream that must be seen by hockey fans everywhere. I mean real hockey fans. Those who want to watch their favorite team when they live far away but can't miss a single sniper selling.
A phenomenal goal!
NHL Live has hundreds of games for the best price. Score your monthly pass for $29.99 and live stream your team.
Hey, what do you say?
Because you want hockey. Visit NHLLive.com.
At JackpotCity.net, you can do amazing things with just one casino chip. Discover a world of incredible casino games with over 500 high-quality online slot games, including the world-renowned progressive jackpot slot, Mega Moolah. Play for free at JackpotCity.net and get treated as a VIP 24/7. So visit JackpotCity.net today on your tablet, laptop, or mobile. Jackpot City. A whole world of casino games. 18 plus, please play responsibly. This is not a gambling website.
Subway Restaurants introduces new potato bun sidekicks. Soft buns made with Canadian potatoes, stacked with quality ingredients. Try all four mouth-watering varieties. Honey mustard ham, savory turkey ranch, Italian aioli, and chipotle chicken. Starting at $2.99 for a limited time. New potato bun sidekicks. Subway. Eat fresh. Freshly made per order at participating shops. Excludes delivery. Extras additional. Plus tax. No additional discounts. Coupons apply.
Listen, it's Organ and Tissue Donation Awareness Month, so let me make you aware of some numbers. One, it takes longer to watch one power play than it does to register as an organ donor. Two, last year organ donors saved 451 lives in BC. Three, one organ donor can save up to 8 lives. Four, it only takes 2 minutes to register as a donor and save lives. You only need to register